Blog Talk Radio.
On this end, that way I don't get an echo. All right.
So we wish to welcome you all in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general. Whether you are in North America, South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, in the Middle East, in China or Russia, the Far East, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. As I was saying, we are starting a new precept in discipleship. So because this is the Sabbath and it's the first day of doing this, then we will go over first what makes a disciple, and then we will get into this precept, the weapons of our warfare. I know that I'm not totally sure that I'm finished totally developing this particular precept because I want to go over each weapon. We're not going to go over them each tonight, but we are going to go over, you know, the different weapons of our warfare and look into them in depth. But on tonight, I want to look at who is the tempter in this, and what are we tempted, you know, what are we battling against? Our weapons, we're going to read this. We have weapons that are given to us. We're going to go over those weapons, but we're not going to go into any detail in them. But we are going to look at tonight who the tempter is, what is, you know, where is the battlefield at, what are we fighting. And one of the things that I saw earlier that, you know, for those saints who don't believe that they're under the law, don't believe that, you know, that they have to obey the commandment, you know, that there's only a couple of commandments, that they love the Most High and that they love their neighbor, and they think that that's the extent of it. But we're going to read something in First Peter on tonight toward the end. But I want to, you know, start off this precept with going over, you know, what our weapons are and what the battlefield is and who is the tempter and who is not. And, you know, look at it from that standpoint. And then in subsequent precepts to this, I want to break down each weapon as to how we use it, because as the saints of the Most High, his disciples, we need to know how to fight. And we need to know, you know, what is at our disposal. And so I want to get into that in depth. And I didn't have, you know, the time to develop it the way that it's in my mind and the way the Most High is bringing it to me. So we're going to start off with, like, the overview on this evening. So let us start off with our statement of faith. And then we will pray in, and we will do the necessaries for the Sabbath, the Shabbat. So I greet you all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Let me have the ladies who cover their heads, men uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, if you are in the U.S. You are to the east of Jerusalem, turn to the west. But you want to turn toward Jerusalem. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us start off this Shabbat by giving a hand clap of praise to our Elohim. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you in the highest. Glory to you, our Elohim and our Redeemer, our Savior. Hallelujah. The lover of our soul, our King. We just give you glory and honor on today, O Yah. We magnify your name and we lift you up. We extol thee. We extol thee, O Yah, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. Hallelujah. 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 All praises to you, O Yah, our Elohim. All praises to you. All glory and honor belong to you, O Yah. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, for there is none like you. Not in the heavens above, on the earth, or beneath the earth. Not in this universe. Not in any altered universe. Not in any secondary universe. In all your creation, you are the Most High Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears once again towards your people Israel, for our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, come and deliver us from this captivity. Save us from what you have sent us into, for only you can do it. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commands. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that you should call in Messiah, that they would come and hear your voice and obey and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commands. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And let us go to, give me a hot second here. I didn't even bring this up. Give me one second. Let me pull up what I need to pull up. Okay. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. And we will start in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, and they in this scripture is Israel, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee. and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servants, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. And now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which God thy Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20 verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And finally, John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
people may say. They believe to think how we think is far from okay. But I believe it's never okay to abandon your dreams. And it just so happens that our dream is to lift up a holy king. See, this is my life, my choice, and I choose to lift up my hands. And please don't be alarmed if when the music comes on, I begin to dance. And run across the room until I can barely catch my breath. And fall on the floor because I gave it all and have nothing left. See, I'm gon' worship until I pass out. That I gotta do.
Go hard in
you know, he picked up and listened to the first lesson, the last one that we did, which was Messiah or Christ is not a who but a what. And then so, you know, he was saying that, hey, I got some questions, and I told him I would be happy to answer him. I couldn't do it at that time. But, you know, but that I would be glad to answer him as far as that goes. And so, you know, we shall see. I'll see him another time, and hopefully he goes through and he listens to some more of, you know, the broadcast and becomes a follower of Mashiach, because I really think this brother's a Muslim, and maybe he's trying to come at me from that standpoint. But, you know, trying to see if we can get another one to follow after Mashiach. So, especially in his discipleship series, I want to make sure that, you know, things are well-defined. So a disciple, in the simplest form, the simplest term, is a pupil, a student of someone. In this case, being a disciple, you're trying to become like your teacher. You're trying to become like your master. That's the simplest definition of a disciple. Someone who is up under the tutelage and the discipline of another and who is trying to become like them. So we are trying to become the disciples of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua the Christ. And on last night, as we learned, the Christ is not a who but a what. And this precept kind of ties into it, because this precept also gets into the power of the Most High. And so we know that we are dealing with, when we say Christ, we're dealing with the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. And so with this battle in our mind, we want to make sure that we keep that definition in front of us even on this evening, okay? So a pupil, that's a disciple, need to study the ways of your master, and then you try to become like your master, okay? Even to do better than your master. The student really tries to become the teacher, but we know we really will never do that. But that is the whole goal. We become Christ-like. We become Messiah or Yeshua-like. Go to the book of Matthew 13. And we're not going to read all these verses. I'm just going to read verse number 13 for tonight. Matthew 13 and 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. And they see and hear not. They see not and hear not because it's not given to them. This is not given to everyone. This truth is not given to everyone. The understanding is not given to everyone. And so we have to understand that. So as a disciple, you should be thankful that the Most High has allowed you to see and to hear and to understand. Because trust me, everybody that hears this gospel and everybody that reads the scriptures does not understand what they're reading and what they're hearing. And they do not see Yeshua for who he is. They don't see the power of the Most High. So blessed are they that hear and see. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 13, verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Righteous men, but it wasn't given to them to hear it or to see it. Okay? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. So the first thing that you have to do to be a good disciple, but seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Kingdom first, seek it first. The kingdom of Elohim and his, not yours, but the Most High's righteousness. First thing you got to do. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which a man, when a man finds it, has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You got to be willing to give your all to get the kingdom. Nothing that you have can be more valuable. You see the kingdom, you see what is offered. He says you must give your all for it. However he blesses you. Because the things that he blesses us with is not to consume upon ourselves, but it's to consume to the fulfillment of his will on earth. And we are to be those instruments to bring about his will on the earth. And so if we want to be true disciples, true pupils, and we're being like our master, then it's not to consume upon ourselves, but it's to bring about the kingdom on the earth. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, sold all that he had. The kingdom is the pearl, and it's more valuable than anything that we can have, and so that we have ourselves. And it doesn't matter, as I said, if we are a zillionaire. The kingdom of heaven is more valuable than that. If we are a pauper and we only have 1 cent, the kingdom of heaven is more valued than that. Because as a pauper, if we put in, we have one penny, we give our all. And the kingdom is still more valuable than our all. It's where our heart is at. It's the condition of our heart. And the Most High wants our all. He wants us to give him his all. He wants us to give him our all. Let me say this correctly. So we must be of a mind that nothing on this earth is more valuable than obtaining the kingdom. And you, each individual, has to ask ourselves, what wouldn't I give? What wouldn't I give up to obtain the kingdom? What do I think is so precious in my life that I wouldn't give it to get into the kingdom of the Most High? This is what he's saying. Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You got to seek the Most High with your whole heart. Seek him first, the kingdom first, and Elohim and his righteousness. Value it above everything. Nothing in your life, nothing that you possess, and be more valuable than the kingdom. And if it's going to stop you from obtaining the kingdom, then you're willing to keep that rather than obtain a kingdom. And then you got to seek the kingdom with your whole heart. Drop down to verse 34, Psalm 119 and 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. When you have understanding, then you understand that you have to keep his law, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. You understand that to transgress him is a terrible thing. And you may not pay for it now, but you will pay for it eventually. And when you do, it won't be good. So when you have understanding, you keep his law. And I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, going to do it with your whole heart. Cannot come at the Most High giving him a piece of yourself, giving him part of you. You have to give him your all of you. Go to Jeremiah 24 and 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me. You cannot love anybody that you don't know. And if you don't know the Most High, you surely can't love him. If you don't know him, then you can't obey his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his judgments. It's impossible. That I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Again, not asking for a piece of you, he's asking for all of you. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. Get verses 26 through 32 or 33. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So we can't love anybody, not even our own selves, more than we love Yeshua HaMashiach and the Most High Elohim. One and the same. So we can't put anybody before him. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. These are not if conditions that are optional. He's giving you an if condition and telling you if you don't fulfill the condition, you cannot be his disciple. You cannot be a follower of his. Say you belong to him. Because he wants those that belong to him, he wants them to totally, 100% belong to him. Has to be first in their life. Okay? So if you're not willing to pay the price, if you're not willing to do what it takes to belong to him, he says you cannot be his disciple. This is a critical one right here, and that I know that, like I said, the churches don't actually teach, is to consider the cost. For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Do you have what it takes to finish this? Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to give up everything? Are you willing to serve him with your whole heart, your whole life? Are you willing to put him first above anybody and everybody, even yourself? That's the cost. You're all. Are you willing to do that? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So you might start off with, you know, good intent. Yeah, the salvation sounds good to me. I want eternal life in the kingdom. But then did you sit down and consider, this is going to take me giving my all. This is going to take the Most High being number one in my life. My mother, my father, my children, my husband, my wife, nobody, not even my own life, can come before this. It's going to take total dedication on my part to do what he's asking me to do. Do I want to do that? I had somebody actually say, I don't even know if I really want to do all that. I said, okay, but that's what you have to consider. And so there are people out there, I know, that when they are given what it's going to cost, the true cost of being his disciple, I don't know if I even want to do all that. But at least they're being honest with themselves. At least they're being honest with themselves. Because it's a decision that every person has to make for them to know what the cost is. And I can just tell you, the cost is your all. The cost is you understanding the Most High didn't put you here to fulfill the lust of your own flesh, but to bring about his will in the earth. You want to be my disciple? You got to be willing to do the work. And this is what my disciples do. They follow after me. I came into the world to bring salvation to the world. I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. I gave you a mission to go and tell the whole world this and to use everything that you get to do it. I will repay you 100-fold of whatever you gave up. And if you get killed for this word, for the testimony of the word and for the witness of me, then I'll give you a throne and a crown to rule on, because you will have shown me that not even your own life was more valuable than this kingdom and me. So you have, will have earned the right to rule with me, and I will give that to you if you have, if you go that far. You count the cost. But you don't want to be the one that don't count the cost and come up short. Okay? Verse 31, Luke 14, verse 31. Or what king is going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he is be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Can I win this battle? I got, this is what I'm, what I'm got, what I got. I got 10,000 men. He's coming with 20,000. Can I take him? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador or an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. I have assayed and considered the cost of doing war with you. And he's not going to say it to him this way, because he might just come and just take his land anyway. But is there a way that we can negotiate peace? Can I pay you tribute? But I don't want to lose my kingdom. And you don't want to lose the kingdom. So what is it going to take you to win the battle? You're all. Okay? I think on my website, one of my sayings is, this gospel is free, and you will never see me charging for a lesson, a download, or anything like that, because the gospel is free. But to get into this kingdom will cost you your all. Your all. And if you're not willing to give your all, you don't really want the kingdom. You say you do, but you really don't. Because that's what he says is costing you. Your all. You got to be willing to sell all, give all, your whole heart. Not just of your heart, but he's talking about of all your means. Whatever he blesses you with is to do his will. And when we come to that understanding, the better off are we. Okay? Verse 33, and this really sums it all up. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So these are the things that are required. Forsaking your all. Giving your all. Valuing the kingdom as the most valuable thing that you can possess. Valuing your king as the most important person in your life, even above your own self, your own life. This is what he wants of us. And we got to seek that first. Seek his kingdom and Elohim's righteousness first. If we don't do that, then we don't really want it. So, you know, we can say things, but the truth of the matter is Messiah has already told us. These are his words that we've been quoting. I don't give this to everybody to understand. Many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that are chosen are the ones that come to understand that they got to give me their all, that they got to live for me first, above everything, even their own desires, even their own wants. He says, serve me first, and I will give you all those things. But I got to be first. I got to be most important, even unto the giving of your life. So you start talking the talk, and you walk the walk. If somebody comes against you, will you deny me? Will you say, well, I didn't mean all that. Oh, I didn't know what I was saying. Will you deny him? Will you withhold what he has blessed you with from him? He said, because I'm the one that gave it to you. And I gave it to you, again, if we have understanding, to fulfill my will in the earth. And if you understand that, he says, then I'm going to give it back to you. 100-fold. So you give me 100 pennies, I'm going to give you a dollar back and tell you that's your reward. You give me 1 year, I'm going to give you 100 years. I'm going to reward you with whatever you give up to me for kingdom's sake. Okay? Now, that's the foundations of being a good disciple. And they are not easy requirements, but they are requirements. And a requirement is not optional. It is mandatory. A requirement is not optional. You don't get to say, well, I can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I can give, you know, give this much to this and that much to that, and I'm good. He says, no. This is what's required. And if you're not able to do what's required, you cannot be. Doesn't matter what we personally think. Doesn't matter what your pastor thinks. It is written. So I'm not giving you Brother Miles' opinion. I'm not giving you what Brother Miles has translated out of the scriptures and saying, oh, this is what I think Messiah wants. Messiah was right before us right now. He would say, I had it written. Give me your all and don't give me nothing. Give me your all and seek me first with your whole heart and don't give me nothing. I don't have to accept less than the best. I am the creator of the universe. And what I want, I will have. And if you want me, this is what it's going to take. Give me your all. Or don't come at all. So we got to understand that he don't play. He has never been playing. But people can't see that. It's not given to them to see it. And I pray that we all see it. And understand that nothing short of our all, then we just going through the motions. That's the truth of the matter. Just going through the motions. Hoping that we get in. But he's already told you, you cannot be. And each of us knows within our own heart whether we are giving our all. Each of us know within our own heart whether we have made him first. It's an individual thing. You don't have to look at your neighbor and say, are you giving your all? Look in that mirror and look at self. Is that you can only save yourself. You can't make nobody else give their all. You can't save nobody. I can't make anybody else give their all. I can only give my all. And I'm responsible for me. Not wife, children, mother, father, grandfather. Friend, save me. So I'm responsible for what I do, and you're responsible for what you do. I have looked at it, and I have considered the cost, and I'm going to give my all to get into this kingdom, to do what he says to do. It is that important and that valuable to me. Okay. Now for the precept on this evening, starting off in the weapons of our warfare. Because as his disciples, we are a peaceful people, but we are at war. And the weapons of our warfare are not natural weapons. It's not a gun or a knife or a machine gun or an atomic bomb. Those are not the weapons of our warfare. We're not coming to take life. We're coming to bring life to people. We're coming to help free people from bondage if they are meant to be set free, if they are given understanding. Then that is what we are here for. So let us go to 2 Corinthians the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. And we're going to get verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Because when you war after the flesh, then the war of after the flesh is to kill the flesh of other people. Let me shoot you. Let me stab you. Let me poison you. Let me suffocate you. Let me drown you. Let me kill your flesh. Let me kill you by whatever means I can, because we're at war. But we're not walking after the flesh, and we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the natural world, the weapons that we use. But they are mighty through Elohim, mighty through his power, as we talked about on last night. The Elohim that can stop the world from spinning. The Elohim that can make water come out of a rock that produces fire. Mighty through Elohim, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, we need to find out where these strongholds are at. Because, you know, we got old people, we got young people, we got rich people, we got poor people. Struggling with this same stronghold. And the stronghold, I'm going to tell you, is in your mind. It's in your mind. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Where are imaginations at? It's in a person's mind. It's what they think, what they imagine, what they make up, what they don't know for sure, but they will make it up to make it make sense to them. Casting down those strongholds. And it doesn't matter, as I said, whether they are a king, or a president, or a prince, or a priest, or whatever in life, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, we battle with the mind. We battle with what we think. We battle with what we think we know. We battle with what we quote-unquote believe, because that's where our faith is at, what we believe. So, casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalts itself, that lifts itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought in your mind. That's why he says the thought of foolishness is sin. You got to bring that thought into captivity. You got to wrangle that thing and say, hey, ain't mine, no, can't be going there. A lot of people say, well, I couldn't help but think it. Yeah, the thought pops in, but you got to bring that thought under control. It's like when, you know, a person sees somebody or something that they're attracted to. And I'll just use people. Attracted to them, and your eyes see what they see. But then you got to bring your mind and your thoughts under control. So this is where the battlefield is at. It's in our mind and in our heart. Okay? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let me say this another way with our new understood definition. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. This is how Elohim is going to bring about our salvation. I need to bring myself under subjection to that. I need to submit myself to his will, to his power, to his wisdom about how he's bringing about salvation. We haven't talked about Messiah yet. But to a lot of people, Messiah, especially to our Orthodox brothers and our forefathers who believe only in the law, Messiah was foolishness to them. The preaching of the gospel was foolishness to them. And so we got to bring these things under obedience to the power and the wisdom of the Most High and his plan of salvation for us. In having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That means that you come against disobedience. Come against it. When your obedience is fulfilled, when you become obedient, then you're supposed to come against disobedience. You're not supposed to just sit there and say, oh, well, that's you. Or you got a problem. Ain't my business. No, you're supposed to revenge all disobedience. Come against it. So the problem is in our minds and in our hearts, but starting in the mind, what we think, what we allow to fester in our mind, what we dwell on, that's the battlefield. And so we're not coming to kill the flesh. The flesh is going to do what the flesh does, and we're to bring it up under subjection. But the flesh only obeys what the mind tells it to do. And if you let your flesh be stronger than your mind, then you can become addicted to different things. You can become addicted to alcohol, become addicted to drugs, become addicted to wealth and to power. So you have to bring these things into subjection, to obedience, to the power and the wisdom of Elohim, to Christ. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, the book of Revelation chapter 3. So we're going to get verse 10. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Where does temptation come from? Temptation is in your heart and in your mind. Now, I've told this before, and I'll say it again. You cannot be tempted with something that is not in you. And so when you are tested, you're going to be tested with something that's in you. That's the only way you can be tempted with it. But you have to overcome that temptation. You have to overcome yourself. Shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, there's going to come a time that the whole world is tempted. And they're going to be tempted with Antichrist. But they're not going to know it's Antichrist. And they're going to actually think that it is Messiah. They're going to think that it is Elohim. But it's really going to be the enemy, the tempter. And he comes to tempt each and every one of us. But he don't really have any power. But he knows and he's told what's in you so that he can tempt you. Okay? So, verse 10 again. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation in your mind. which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. The book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Again, this temptation is in our minds. We got to battle it there. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You might let the flesh rule, but this flesh will get you in trouble if you let it rule the way it wants to rule. Luke 22 and 40. Luke 22 and 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. This is what we're battling all the time. Temptation. In our mind, should I take a hit off of this cigarette? Should I smoke this joint? Should I take this fifth of vodka and consume it tonight? Yeah, should I go after that woman I know I'm not supposed to be with? Yeah, should I go after that man I know I'm not supposed to be with? Shall I take this money that ain't nobody around to look and see? It's laying here. Shall I go in this person's purse and take out what I want to take out because they can't see me? Shall I stick my hand into the cookie jar that I was told not to touch? Shall I tell a lie when I could have easily have just told the truth? Temptation to do evil, to do that which is not right. That's what we battle with day in and day out. Temptation. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Part of the Lord's Prayer. Part of Yeshua's prayer when he was telling us how to pray to the Father. And lead us not into temptation, because that's our downfall. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we ask in the Most High, we're pleading with him, don't allow me to be led into temptation. Don't send the tempter to tempt me. Because the Most High says, I don't tempt anyone. But I'll allow you to be tempted. I might even tell Satan about you. Have you considered my servant, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Yeah. Go and tempt them, but don't hurt them. Don't physically hurt them. Oh, they passed that test. Don't take their life. Now, cause them to get sick. But don't take their life. Take everything from them. Take their children. Take their wife. Take their home. Take their homes. Take their animals. Take all their possessions, everything they hold valuable in the earth. Let me see if they will curse me. He might send the tempter to you. Even our own Messiah had to go through what we go through. And he had to pass the test. Hear this. He had to pass the test. Because if he didn't pass the test, then the Most High would say, okay, I can't use that as a standard because I failed my own test. How am I going to hold you accountable to something I couldn't do myself? Look at this. Corinthians chapter 10. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's get verse 13. There is no temptation taking you. No temptation that is taking you, but such as is common to man. Whatever you're tempted with in this world, it is common. Don't think that you're an exception, that you're being tempted with something nobody else ain't been tempted with at the same measure, to think that you're unique, because we're not. When it comes to this, we all, this flesh wants what it wants. The mind wants what it wants. We might have different flavors of it. You might aspire to own a home, and that's it, and somebody else aspires to own 10 homes. But it's still the same aspiration. So we're not, any of us, unique in those ways. Such as is common to man, but Elohim is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. I'm not going to suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to handle. But remember, you can't be tempted by something that is not in you. And when the temptation comes, the Most High says, I have made a way out for you if you will but look for it, if you will but accept it. Or will you give in to the temptation? Because this is a battle. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose to do the evil, or are you going to choose to do good? What's your choice? That's the battle. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape? But you got to want to escape. Because see, when we're tempted with something that we want, and that's the only thing that we can be tempted with, something that we want or desire, we like. If you ain't never smoked a cigarette, can't nobody tempt you with a cigarette. If you have never done any type of drug, can't nobody tempt you with any type of drug. If you've never stolen anything in your life, can't nobody tempt you with stealing anything, because you passed that test. Now, I ain't gonna never take nothing. That ain't within me. But if you've stolen, you're gonna always be tempted to steal. The propensity is there. You can get over that. You can get by that. But the thought will come. So we got to understand, he'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear the temptation. Not to do the temptation, but to bear it and get by it. Not commit it. That in your mind, you'll be able to go to a place, oh no, the Most High, I don't want to offend the Most High. I don't want to transgress his laws. That's where the fear of him comes from. That's where the fear of him will keep you from transgressing. The fear of him will keep you from going through with that temptation. And when we look at Messiah used the word of the Most High to bypass all the temptations that he was tempted with. So it's a battle in the mind. That's the battleground. What you think, you believe, what you feel, what you understand. It's in the mind, and that's where everything starts. Let's go to James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. And let's get verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that endures it. For when he is tried, when he is tempted, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yah has promised to them that love him. If you love the Most High, you will keep his commandments. You will not transgress, even when you're tempted. Your love and your fear of him will keep you from transgressing, will allow you to endure. That's your escape. Ain't nothing worse losing the love of the Most High. Nothing and no one is worth that. And people don't think that the Most High will stop loving you if you transgress, but we already know he will. His love is not unconditional. His love is not everlasting to those that don't love him. That is a lie that people start teaching for whatever the reason. We can sin and the Most High will just forgive us and he will allow us to do what we want to do, and he will never, for no matter how bad we are. If you don't obey his commandments, and he didn't say try to. He never uses the word try. It's a doing. Not just a hearer of my word, but a doer. That's not, trying is not doing. You either are successful or you are not. And he wants us to be successful. That means that you don't try to do it. You do it. Because anything that you try to do, that means that you failed. Well, I tried. I didn't do it. You either do it or you don't. And he doesn't make provisions in his word for try. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Elohim. For Elohim cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempts he any man. He's got somebody to do that for him, but he don't do it. He might say, hey, tempter, go check out my servant. See if what they say with their lips is really true. See if I put enough fire up under them. Will they melt? Verse 14. This is where it starts. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Got to be in you. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And then entice. That's what the tempter does. He entices you. This thing is already in you. You love blue flowers. He shows up with blue flowers. Just the kind you like. You know you're not supposed to have blue flowers because you're allergic to the color blue, but you still like them. So but when we are drawn away of our own lust. And then enticed. Here goes the candy. You want it? Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When you allow that thought, that temptation, to take hold on you and you bite, and you make up in your mind that you're going to go ahead and do it, you have sin. Because remember, the thought of a foolish thought is sin. So when you decide in your mind, I'm going to do this, sin has been conceived. The lust has been conceived. It's impregnated now. And you're going to take action if you can. But the Most High really is not worried about whether you take action or not. What he's worried about, did the lust conceive? Did that thought conceive in your mind? Did it get impregnated? Is it in your heart to do it? That's what he's concerned about. That's what he's going to judge you on. That's why he said, if a man lusts after a woman, in his heart, in his mind, lust is a strong word. It's not just looking at. You can look at a woman and say, or a person say, oh, that's a beautiful or a handsome person, and not be lusting after them. You just, hey, that's a beautiful person. That your eyes don't stop working. But when you go, oh, they are beautiful. I sure would like to get with them. Wonder if they're taken. Man, if I could get a hold of him or her, this is what I would do. Now it has conceived. And you haven't done anything physically yet. But in your mind, you've already done it. You've already started undressing them. You already got them in the bed. You're already doing it. You just haven't physically done it. But the Most High is saying, hey, that thought has conceived. It has been impregnated. And in your heart and in your mind, you would do this. So that thought is sin. And sin brings forth death. When it is finished, brings forth death. So you conceive this thing in your mind. You buy into it. And whether you do it or not, it's already too late because he said it's in your heart. And that's what he's looking at. So you lost that battle in your mind, the battlefield. Didn't use any of the weapons I gave you to fight this. Just do not err. Don't make a mistake. The battle is in your mind. And you need to battle the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things are not of the Father. The Father don't put the lust of the flesh in you. That is in your flesh. The Father don't tell you how to perceive what you look at, how to dissect it with your mind, how to process it with your brain, what to think about it, how to think about it. You make up those things and you decide, oh, you know, I like that. I don't like that. Maybe you were influenced from a young age. You know, because there, you know, we all get exposed in our life and in different ways. And some of us may have been exposed as children. Some of us may only have been exposed when we got older. So when we were young and impressionable, somebody came and who was twisted in their brain, who was already fulfilling the temptations that were in them, because, you know, any grown-up that would look at a child and think that, oh, I might be able to do this with this child, they are already fulfilling the lust of their flesh, and they're already fulfilling the temptation that is within them. Should I do this or not? And so they come and expose this young child. And now this young child is struggling with these things. So it comes to us different times, different people, different ways, different ages. But then as a grown person, that same child will suffer with those same temptations. Because that's where they were indoctrinated at. That's what they learned to like. That's what the what spirit was passed on to them. But that didn't come from the Most High. So we got to understand, it's what's in us, in our heart, in our mind. That's where temptation is at. And our mind is the battlefield. And only you can control your mind. Only you can decide how you're going to react. And without the help of the Most High, nobody else can help you. Nobody can see your thoughts. You can see your actions. Maybe they can see the expression on your face. You know, you're looking kind of funny. But really, what you're actually thinking, only you know, and the Most High. So when you are drawn away of your own lust, can't say the devil made me do it, because the devil can't tempt you with anything that is not already in you. That's what you got to understand. He cannot tempt you with anything that is not already in you. It's not already your own lust. Some things that we just have naturally, that is part of our DNA. Some things were taught to us, but they become part of us. That's why you don't want to watch any and everything. You don't want to let your children watch any and everything, because they get exposed. Now that thought is there. And people don't understand that. You can't show videos of everything that might be out there. I don't need to show a video of somebody committing oral sex. That picture and that thought, you can't unsee that. And that whoever is exposed to it. They may not have even ever heard of it, thought of it, until they saw that. Can't unsee it. Rather repulsed or drawn to it, you can't unsee it. And so it's not good to expose people to everything. You can teach on things, but it's something about seeing something. Can't unsee it. And so now there's a picture there, and there's thoughts going around that picture. So we got to understand this, and this is what that enticing is. People understand that the enemy comes in many different forms, in different ways. But once this thing is entered into your mind, it can become a problem. Because now you can be tempted by it, especially if you liked it. You're curious. And you can be tempted by that. Go to Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to get verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Yeshua led of the Spirit, led by the Spirit of the Most High, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, what the devil's going to tempt him with are things that are his already, but he don't have them right then. He's not in his glory. He's in a lesser form. He's in the form of a man. He's not sitting on his throne. And don't think that he didn't want those things. But then he showed us how to fight them, how to fight it. Then was Yeshua led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the son of Elohim, command these stones to be made bread." Messiah could have said, "Be bread," just like he sent down manna from heaven. Turn those stones into bread. He had the power to do it. And I'm hungry. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." I'm hungry, but that's not what drives me. That's not the meat that I desire. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim, you got to know what Elohim says about a thing. You got to say that in your mind. You can't let your mind tell you, because your mind will be like, yeah, you can have that. I sure want that. But what does Yah say about it? And what would Yah say about it if I allow my mind to go there and take hold of this? Am I going to let my mind and my flesh win? Am I going to let my hunger win in this case? Or am I going to go to the Word of the Most High and say what Yah says? This is what Messiah showed us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. What does Elohim say about this? Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sit him on a pinnacle of the temple. Takes him to Jerusalem. Sets him on top of one of the points on the temple. And saith unto him, "If thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone." Yeshua said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yah thy Elohim." A lot of people were going out without their mask during COVID and saying, you know, the Most High got me. Tempting him. Because they didn't want to wear the mask. Said, "Hey, I know I can jump off of here right now. And I ain't going to hit the ground and hurt nothing. So what you're saying, Satan, is true. But what does Elohim say? It is written. Again, thou shalt not tempt, because you want me to tempt him. Dispatch the angels quick. I just failed. Don't tempt him. Don't try to call on him to do something for you that you know is foolish. Just to show out. I'm protected. I'm going to overexpose myself. I'm going to do whatever. And I'm going to tempt Yah that I don't get this disease. Not saying count on man, but they actually say the Most High got me, so I'm going to be okay. I'm going to do that like that. No, that's tempting him. And Messiah said, don't tempt him. Thou shalt not, the Most High says, don't tempt him. That really means that don't test him in a way just to show out. And that's what Messiah would have been doing. So he gives us a way. Use the word of Elohim. And sometimes you got to use the word of Elohim on Elohim. Bring it to his remembrance. Remember you said. Remember you had written. And he's going to love that because you are using his word. Verse 8, again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, the thing you got to understand is Satan has the power to give these things. Messiah is over him, but in this form, in his humanly form, he's saying, I got to show them. So what he does again, then say Yeshua unto him, get thee hence, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yah, thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. This is what you and I have to do. Because a lot of people, what we don't realize is if we're not serving the Most High, then we're serving Satan. And Satan can bless you with riches and power and glory. Just that you're going to be a sinful person. What do you got to do to get it? But he has it within his power to do that. And this is what a lot of people may get mixed up. They might think, you know, I'm blessed because I got wealth and I got power and I got authority and I got glory. But where did it come from? If you're not leading a righteous life, know that it didn't come from the Most High. It came from the tempter here. It came from Satan, just like he promised Messiah. If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. Say that we're worshiping the Most High, but then we're not keeping his commandments. We're not obeying his voice. We're trying to be a little good. But when we want what we want, then we're going to do that And we know it's wrong, but that's what we want, so that's what we do. And your blessings probably not coming from the Most High. I can just about guarantee they're not coming from the Most High. They're coming from this one. Because he has it in his power to do it. And he don't have to come and confront us and say, oh, I'm Satan, and I'm going to give you this. All we got to do is stay in our sin and pursue it, and he'll give it to us because, hey, you're on my side. You may not know it. You might think you're on the Most High side, but you're really on my side because the Most High team, they follow him. They obey his voice. They keep his commandments, keep his laws, his statutes, and his judgments. If you are a transgressor, you're on my team. So this is what the church and the world is not teaching people. And this is what the world definitely don't want you to know, and the church is not telling you. Satan has the power to grant these things. The tempter. So if we do something we know we ought not do to gain some rich or some power or some whatever, and we're doing what we're not supposed to do, then trust me, he's the one that blessed you. And we got to know that. Ephesians chapter 6, or verse 11. Then the devil leaves them. When you know how to answer the tempter, and you answer the tempter with the word of the Most High. You don't answer the tempter with your own words. Because you're going to get twisted and tripped up in your own words. Smart him. You must use the power and the wisdom of Elohim. It's Elohim that says, obey my voice. It's Elohim that says, you seek me first. All these kingdoms and the glory of them I will give to you. Seek me first, if that's what you desire. Seek me first, and I will add all these things unto you. Messiah is showing us that. Don't tempt the Most High. Live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. That is your wisdom. Put your mind on the Most High. Study his word and know it inside out. And use his word to battle on the battlefield. Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah and the power of his might, not your might, in his power. You and I, in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. And Messiah told us that. In and of myself, I can do nothing. He's our example. He's showing us. We can never do more than he did. He says if we have great faith, we can and should be doing more than he did. He said, I came to be your example. Be strong in his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim. Now, these are our weapons, the armor of Elohim. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the attacks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These principalities and these powers, all are dark. And if they are not living, breathing, existing for the Most High, they're living, eating, and breathing for darkness. And the truth of the matter is, the rulers of this world, the principalities and powers, the kings, the presidents, the princes, the dukes, the mayors, all these leaders are in government that believe that they can govern themselves better than the Most High can govern us. And that's spiritual wickedness in high places. Because if they're not talking about doing the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, they're not talking about keeping his judgment. They're talking about doing what's right in their own mind. Whether that's a corporate mind with a body of believers saying, hey, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, yada, 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 and this is how we're going to govern ourselves. The corporate mind. We will do it the way we want to do it. We will say that gay marriage is legal. We will say that it's okay for a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, to come together in matrimony. And the Most High says that it's not. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we don't come against that, we surely can't talk bad about it. Because we allowed these things, because we didn't put on our armor, and we didn't come against it on a national level. We didn't come against it on a spiritual level. We just said, look at them. We're letting them take over the earth. But it's supposed to be us taking over the earth. Can you hear what the Spirit has to say? We're supposed to be taking over the earth, converting the earth. But we are so timid. We are so unwillful. We are so babyish. Still stuck on the breath. That we can't do this battle because we're still battling in our minds if we can do right. But the battle is against principalities. That's rulers of different sides of government. And against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world. It's all spiritual based. It's the spirit behind those men and those women who are against the Most High, who are on Satan's side. And the Most High said, don't battle them with guns. Don't battle them with bullets. You want to affect the change? Here are your weapons. Freedom. Well, let's go to Isaiah first, and we'll come back. This is what we're battling against. So understand that it's not by accident that the spirit of homosexuality is gone crazy worldwide. It's not by accident that in the nation of liberty that gay marriage and those types of things are acceptable. It won't be long before bestiality is acceptable. Somebody will say, you know, I love my animal. And there's a lot of people out there that love their animals like they love their children. A lot of them that don't have children love their animals like children. There's a lot of people out there who love their animals like they are a person and are laying down with them, having sex with their animals. And it won't be too long before they make a law where it's legal to do so. Trust is coming. It's already out there. So all you need is the right group to bring it forth. And they will conspire within themselves to make it all right. Next thing you know, somebody's going to be married to their dog. Somebody's going to be married to their horse. Somebody's going to be married to their sheep. It's in the world. They're trying to make it already where it's legal to have sex with a child. Because they'll say, oh, as long as the child is consenting. They're already teaching the little kids in school, oh, you get to choose your sexuality. You were born a boy, you feel like a girl, you're a girl. Teaching them about anal sex and how to have it in school. Part of their sex education. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Most I says, you come against that, we'll learn how. Because that spirit is in this world. And we already see it in the schools and teaching it to our young people who are the most impressionable. Oh, you have this feeling? Well, you might be gay. Mosiah says, you better squash that feeling that's in your mind. But no, they'll teach them to explore it. So you see what kind of battle we're up against? Principalities and powers, the ones who can affect society. And this is what Messiah came against, society and the systems of society, the health system, the financial system, the government, the laws that they make. Because these are the things that put people in bondage, that if you allow them, corrupt society. If you say it's okay to have sex as part of your worship, then there's no way that you're going to teach that having sex outside of marriage is a sin. So these powers influence people. They corrupt people. And they corrupt them through the battlefield of their mind. Let me tell you, this is okay. Then in your mind, it's okay. Well, you know, I thought that there was something wrong with that, but everybody else is doing it. It must be all right. Corrupt thoughts at high levels where they can influence large bodies of people. That's where the battle is. Isaiah chapter 26. So Messiah showed us that we are to use the word of Elohim against the tempter. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, on the Most High, because he trusts in thee. We got to trust and keep our minds on the Most High and what he says. So we have to use against the world, against the principalities, against the powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Stay focused on the Most High and trust in him. Now I want to go to 2 Peter, and we're going to run a little bit long this evening. I want to finish this portion up. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 1, and we're going to read, 2 Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17 or 18, somewhere in there. Let's see. So we're going to read 1 through 22, 1 through the end. I want us to pay attention here. And this is to all the saints. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy, even denying Yah that bought them, and bring upon themselves with destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many are going to follow these false prophets and these false teachers, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you. They want the money. They want the power. They want the wealth. And they'll say and do anything to get it. Even telling you, you don't have to follow the statutes, laws, and commandments and judgments of the Most High. There are prophets and teachers. I'm talking about church folks. I'm talking about religious people. I'm talking about people that say they believe in the Most High. Through their covetousness shall they, with seen words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. For if Elohim spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them that with an overthrow, making them an example or an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So we're to use everything that the Most High has done to the wicked, destroying them, burning them up, drowning them, as examples, and deliver just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Filthy conversation. Hey, boy, sure look good in them jeans. Looking at the angels. Because they look like males, they were into males, or we want to lay with those angels. They're pretty. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing and vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. We should be vexed at what the world is doing. We should be hurting. Wow, Mosiah, this is just crazy. Look at what they do. Look at all their ungodly ways. We should not be insensitive to this stuff. Our skin should not be so thick that it don't bother us. Verse 9, Yah knows to deliver the godly out of temptations, out of the battle of their mind, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness, but mainly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before Yah. For these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. They call evil good and good evil, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. But they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, cannot stop, beguiling, seducing unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practice. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, loved doing wickedness, teaching people to fornicate, teaching people it's okay to commit adultery, teaching people it's okay to sleep with the same sex, to sleep with animals, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with the man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. They want to do wickedness. Remember, he's talking about prophets and teachers, calling themselves prophets and teachers of the Most High. The church telling it's okay to be gay in the church. It's okay to shack up. It ain't that big a sin. Yah will forgive you. When they know it's wrong, or when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh and through much wantonness. Wantonness is a condition of the mind. It's like extreme lust in your mind. Those that were cleaned escaped from them who live in error. So those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yah and Savior Yeshua HaMashiach, they are again entangled therein. So when, you know, when we're reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we willfully sin after we have come into the knowledge of the truth, this verse is saying the same thing. After they have overcome by the knowledge of what Yeshua did, or if they are entangled again, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So you don't just go out there and willfully sin, come back and say, "Yah, forgive me," and then willfully sin. He said your latter end is worse than your beginning. You might think you are forgiven. You might think that you are doing well. You might think that you're okay. But what is happening is you're sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into darkness. And this is what they have taught us. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Oh, but no, we're not up under any holy commandment. We're not up under any law. We're only up under these few laws. Whatever they can make the bare minimum. Oh, if I love my brother, and I love the Most High. The Most High said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how you show you love me. Not you love me and say you don't have to keep my commandments. Don't say you love me and say you don't have to keep my laws. Because if you love me, Messiah himself says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So wait a minute, what did Messiah actually say? Because they don't realize that Messiah is the Elohim of the Old Testament. They don't realize the Elohim of the Old Testament in flesh. He put on flesh and came into the world to try to make him separate and apart. They don't believe what is written in the scriptures, that they're one and the same entity. So the one that gave the laws in the Old Testament is the same one that gave his laws in the New. He didn't do away with me, says not one jot or tittle would pass from the law until all be fulfilled. I'm not doing away with this. I'm going to write them in your heart. He said, would it be better had they never known than to know and turn back, than to know and go back and keep doing what they were doing. Verse 21 again. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. They never turned from the holy commandments. They never took hold to them. Because in their mind on the battlefield, they had been deceived. That we don't have to do this. We don't have to keep this. That would be better for them had they never known, had they never heard. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. So when the church is teaching people that if you confess your sins, these are false teachers, prophets, if you confess your sin, he is true and just to forgive you. But don't tell you if you willfully sin after you have come into the knowledge of the truth, there is no blood for that. So that you know, hey, I know this is wrong. I better not do that. But because they know, if they tell you that, you're not going to come and stay there. You're going to go where you can hear what you want to hear. You're going to go where you can say, I serve an all-forgiving God, an all-merciful God. I serve an Elohim that won't do that. I serve the Elohim that died forever for my sins, no matter what I do or how often I do it, as long as I come back and say, I'm sorry. Those are the false prophets and the false teachers that he's talking about. Because that's not what he says. So when we put on the weapons of our warfare, then we're going to learn that we have to use the word of the Most High, just as Messiah taught us. And we won't be trying to sidestep the word of the Most High. We won't be trying to sidestep his scriptures. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Because, see, we have to come against this. We have to come against the false teachers. We have to come against the false prophets. Because they are telling you those things and telling the saints those things, or I can't even say it that way. They're telling the people who want to believe to make it so that they don't understand the true cost. And they're paying their tithes and their offerings, not understanding that they are being lied to. But it allows them to feel good about themselves and to feel like they're doing something, but they have been deceived. All because we know that we can get your money this way. If we don't put too much pressure on you, we can get your money. If we don't tell you the whole truth, we can get your money. Because we tell you the truth, most of y'all probably won't be here. And what I mean by most, 99% of y'all. They know that. So through covetousness and not telling the whole truth and twisting the scriptures, they cause them to run into damnation. And those people, they can say, but, that's what I was told. And the Most I can say, but, you didn't say to show yourself approved. And I sent somebody to tell you, but you wouldn't listen because you wanted to stay where you were at. Because in your mind, you really didn't want to give me your all. In your mind, I wasn't the most valuable person in your life. In your mind, my kingdom wasn't the most important thing to you. In your mind, your righteousness was greater than my righteousness. In your mind, you wanted all these things. But with your lips, you said you wanted me. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, not with a lie, not with a partial truth. With the truth. Walk in the truth. Wear it. Don't just say anything and everything somebody teaches. If it sounds good to you, then that must be truth. What does the word of Elohim say? The entire word, not cherry-picked. Not twisted, not made to contradict, concerned. What does it say? Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. Not he's my buddy and we got a relationship and he understands me. He knows my heart. Mosiah says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what I'm looking at. But he knows my heart. He know I intend to do good. But are you doing good? That's your heart, whatever you're doing. Not what you think you want to do. Not what you think you're going to do, but what you actually do. He knows my intent. He said, yeah, and your intent is going to send you to the lake. Because I want doers of my words. Not those that intend to do it. But those that actually do it. With the right attitude, with their whole heart. Girt your loins with the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to know what's right to have on a breastplate of righteousness. You got to know what's right. And you got to do it. You got to have the truth to even know what's right. Because if you believe in a lie, how are you going to know what's right? Your whole mental process is twisted. We'll justify wickedness by it and say that it's good. Because it's just a little bit wrong. These are your weapons. The truth. Put it around your loins. Wear it. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Learn what is right in the eyes of the Most High and do it. Can't wear that breastplate and you're not doing righteousness. Not in your own eyes, but what the Most High says is right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Full of peace. How do you make peace with the Most High? What's the good news? Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. That's what's going to bring you into peace with the Most High. He wants to make peace with us. He don't want to make peace with us and we are in sin. We are in willful sin. Let me say it that way. Don't want to make peace with us if we are in willful sin. The gospel of peace. The Most High has provided us a Messiah. That whosoever should believe in him shall have everlasting life. And all we got to do is do what he said do. In truth. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Your faith really happens to be what's in your mind, what you believe. Not necessarily what you know. Because you might believe something but not have seen it. But you still believe it. And you believe in the mind, in the battlefield. Taking the shield of faith that what the Most High says is true. Got to believe that. Got to know that. That he's a terror. He gonna tear some behinds up and not in a good way. We're supposed to be convincing people of that. They want to say, well, the Most High knows my heart. I'm still doing wickedness, but he knows my heart. I'm still walking the ways of this flesh, but he knows my heart. You don't fear him. And you're trying to make it the excuse that he's going to make exception because of what you intend. He says, out of the abundance of the heart. He's going to show what you are. So you say one thing and do another. That other that you did, that was what was in your heart. That which you didn't do, that what was in your heart. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, of the devil, of the tempter. He's going to come at you. Those darts that he's using on you are what's in your heart, what's in your mind. That's what he's going to tempt you with. That's what he's going to throw at you. He ain't going to throw no heroin at you if you ain't got no addiction to heroin. He ain't going to throw no booze at you if you ain't got no addiction to booze. He ain't going to throw no pretty fine young thing at you if you ain't got no addiction to sex and got to sleep with everything because it's there. He's going to throw at you what's in you. Because it's your own lust. That's how he works. And if you want to beat that, then you got to believe that the Most High is going to do what he says he's going to do, and you got to fear him more than you want that. That's why he says the beginning of all your wisdom is fear. The fear of him. So that when these temptations come, your fear of him keeps you from doing them. Your fear of him be like, oh, I need to wipe that from my mind. I can't dwell on that because the Most High already told me if I dwell on that, it's going to bring me death. It's going to put me on his bad side. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe people don't think that they can get on the bad side of the Most High. Because he's all loving. He's all merciful. He has unconditional love for us. Those are all teaching by false teachers and false prophets. That is not the Elohim of this book. That's not the Elohim that we serve. That's not what Messiah taught us. He said, you better use the word of Elohim. You better believe on it. You better trust it with all your heart, with all your might. You don't want to lose that battle when you're tempted, because that temptation is going to bring you death if you follow through with it, if you allow it to conceive in your mind. So we're going to want to look at these weapons that he's given to us, our faith, the truth, the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation. That helmet is supposed to protect you and let you know that you are saved. If you do what he says, if you obey his voice, you keep his commandments. If you sin ignorantly, and when you find out that you have sinned, you confess it and you turn away from it, then he's going to save you. and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The Spirit itself is not a sword. The Spirit of the Most High is not a sword. But what is the sword? What do you use to deal with the enemy? Because our weapons are not carnal. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim. It is written. Messiah pulled out his sword. Let me fight you, Satan. It is written. Again, it is written. It is written. Get thee behind me, Satan. The word of Elohim. Thus saith Yah Elohim. That's your sword. That's what you fight with. That's what Messiah showed us. So we have to use the weapons of our warfare. You want to survive this battle in your mind? Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Let that be in your mind always. Fear him. Learn of his ways. Learn his word so that you can fight using his word. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. That means you got to have the Spirit to pray in the Spirit. That means that you have to have submitted yourself to the Most High and been chosen and watched thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for all the saints that the Most High will strengthen them and be in them, that he would fight for them, that he would bring them out of spiritual wickedness, that he would convict them in their heart, truth, that they would not be covetous after money, after possessions, that they would not tell you what you want to hear just so they can make sure you won't go nowhere. Pray for them. That's who he was talking about in 2 Peter. Last verse. Go to Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. I can throw some other verses in here, but this should be sufficient. The book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Rewrite your mind with the word of Elohim. Reprogram your mind and your subconscious with the word of Elohim. Renew yourself. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. Renew your mind with the word of the Most High. It is written. Use the weapons that he gave you, the shield of faith, the gospel of peace, the truth of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You got to put all these things on every day. And you got to have your sword with you. And you got to use it. Can't have the sword and then leave it sheathed. Never use the word of Elohim in no situation. Sword and don't use it. Got to be willing to use it. Must use it. Or else Satan is going to have his way with you. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word on tonight. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to see that the battle is in our mind. And we have to first fight the battle there. And that we have to transform our mind to be like Messiah's mind. To be like and be filled with your power and your wisdom. To understand that the greatest knowledge we could ever have is the fear of you. That if we genuinely have the fear of you in our minds and in our hearts, you will not, that fear will not let us go astray. So, Father, give us, power up our weapons. Give us superpowers in them that we might come against principalities and powers in high places, spiritual wickedness, that we don't just stand by like we are defenseless, but if we will come together and pray to you, to take action in the world. We don't pull out and go get a gun, but we use the weapons that you have given us to bring about change in this world. Father, we have been so weak, so ineffective, so misusing the power and authority that you have, not even using the power and authority that you have given us. Help us, Father, that we should walk in your ways, that we should understand the power and authority that you have told us to walk in, that we use the weapons of our warfare to fight the battles that you will have us to fight. And understanding that it is by your power and your might that we ourselves can do nothing in and of ourselves. Father, allow us to preach the truth throughout all the world, that whosoever will shall come to you, that they will fear you and keep your commandments. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. In the morning, I don't know what the precept is going to be yet. Yah will give it to me tonight, prayerfully, in which way he wants me to come, what he wants me to say. So I can't tell you what it's going to be in the morning because I don't know. I honestly don't. But I can say this to you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Transform your mind by the word of the Most High. Reprogram yourself. so that what you spit out is the word of the Most High in everything. Be like our Messiah. Be a good disciple and use it is written when temptation comes to you. It is written in the word of the Most High that temptation does not get the better of you. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. See you in the morning. Yah bless.
Kingdom.